Hello, wrestling fans. I am your host, J.D. Sloan, on another edition of the Tape Trader's Guide to 90s Pro Wrestling. Today is the 11th of October, and I'm doing this real quick podcast. I got word today, this afternoon, that a longtime pro wrestling manager, booker, promoter, all-around person in the business, Paul Adams, passed away. The details are somewhat sketchy right now, so I don't want to, you know, put any kind of statement out there on what I think could have or could not. It doesn't really matter. I found out today that he passed away. Paul was a rather good guy. I was lucky enough to have, you know, I would call Paul Adams a friend of mine. We had actually just spoken about 10 days, 2 weeks ago about me using him for my upcoming Nashville Fairgrounds sports arena documentary that I'm shooting right now. And then also coming on and doing a podcast, because Paul is someone that's been in the business since the mid-90s. So it was very recently that we had spoken, and to be honest, I'm heartbroken. I realize that there's a good chance that maybe not a lot of people listening to this may even know who Paul Adams is. Some of you might. Obviously, there's a lot of people that probably listen to this that's in the Nashville, Tennessee, Kentucky area. But in case you aren't, you know, I would recommend checking out Paul Adams and the work that he did. Paul was a really awesome heel manager. He really, really was. I remember when I was young and I would go to Music City Wrestling events, and Paul would be on the outside, and he always wore slacks, a button-up white shirt, a tie, sometimes suspenders, and would carry around a towel, and everyone would call him Towel Boy. And Paul was the kind of heel manager that could, you know, bang on the mat for his wrestler in unison with the claps from the crowd for the comeback for the babyface. And I know he's not the one that invented it, but I just remember being a kid watching him out there and just thinking, like, I mean, it's just perfect. You know, the heels on top of the baby face, you know, the baby face is in a chokehold or a sleeper or whatever, and the fans are clapping, and Paul's pounding on the mat at the exact same time, so he's almost encouraging the clapping of the fans. You know, he's almost the band leader in the situation. And that always fascinated me at how good he could do that. Paul was incredible on the microphone. You know, I mean, he truly did have the gift for gab. He was someone that could go out there and spend, you know, you could say, Paul, go. I need you to cut a 30-second promo. Bam. You don't have to tell him anything. He can cut it. It's 30 seconds perfect. Or you can tell him, hey, I need 2 minutes. And you go out there and do the same thing in 2 minutes. He was so, so fantastic on the microphone. I've only known Paul for probably 10 years now. I met him in 2009. When he was involved in Showtime All-Star Wrestling. Reno Riggins had called me, who was the owner of the company, and had me and Paul meet up because he wanted me to help with selling some sponsorships, dispersing tickets, you know, hanging flyers, you know, all that kind of grunt work or whatever. And so my contact was Paul. And so we would, you know, me and Paul would talk, you know, a couple times a week, you know, from 2009 for years. And as Paul's, you know, power within Showtime kind of grew and Reno kind of did less and less, Paul would come over to my house and watch wrestling, and we talk storylines and talk about this and talk about that. And there was actually a storyline that that Paul used for Johnny Bandana that I came up with. And really, at that time in 2009, that was probably, Paul was the first person to really sit down with me and let me be creative and do more than, you know, be a security guard or hang posters or be ring crew or whatever. You know, he really sat down and took an interest in my ideas. And I appreciated that so much, you know, so, so much, because that's really, that's everything to me, is the creativity of professional wrestling and the idea and the you know, the meetings and bouncing ideas off of one another and coming up with different things. And so it meant so much to me. And Paul, he used to, you know, in 2009, he used to hit me up and be like, hey, man, can you make me a completion of Prince Devitt from New Japan so I can take a look at him, because I'd like to book him and I want to see what he's all about. or you know, Ricochet, or just he would ask me for all these different DVDs from, you know, guys from Puerto Rico or Japan or the Indies that he was actively interested in bringing to Nashville. And young guys, you know, something that really honestly wasn't necessarily done all the time, you know, especially at that time. So I always really appreciated that, and I always thought that was really cool. The last few years, you know, I haven't seen Paul. I saw Paul probably last year. I just happened to see him at the grocery store. I was in there buying ice cream for my kids, and he happened to walk by me. You know, he was buying dinner, and he stopped, and we talked for a little while. And he seemed like he was in such good spirits. He seemed happy, and he had lost some weight from the last time I had seen him. And he looked good. He was walking good. He was moving good. You know, I was happy to see him. And before that, I'd last seen him at a Freedom Pro show when he was there helping produce some TV vignettes and stuff. But over the last probably 5 years, you know, 4 years, I would mostly talk to him over Facebook Messenger. And it was far and in between. And you know, it's just you don't think you'll get that text message or that phone call. And so you think you have a lot of time always. And, you know, just like I said, a few weeks ago, we were talking about meeting up, and it was kind of one of those open-ended things. Like, hey, man, we need to get together. I've got to shoot some footage of you talking about the fairgrounds. We can sit down, we can do a podcast about your career at the same time. And it's like, oh, great. Well, we'll schedule a date. You know, there was nothing definitive. It was just kind of a, you know, whenever we get a chance, we'll get a chance. And today, when I got the information that he had passed, you know, it instantly brought me back to the last time I talked to Steve Dahl. And the last time I talked to Steve Dahl, I was at work, and he called me on my cell. And I just remember at the end of the phone call, he was like, "Man, we got to get together. You know, we need to meet up and have a beer." And I was like, "Yeah, you know, we totally do, Steve." And he goes, his last thing he said to me is he said, "Man, don't forget, I used to hurt people for a living." And I laughed, and we never set up a date. And a few weeks after that, he had passed, and I never got to, you know, I never got to say goodbye to him. I didn't even say goodbye to him on the phone that day. You know, the conversation ended with the "Don't forget, I used to hurt people for a living," and that was it. And I always felt so bad about it because Steve did so much for me. He did so many good things for me. And today, when I got that information about Paul, I just thought, man, Paul did a lot of shit for me. Without Paul, I wouldn't be in the industry in any way, shape, or form right now, because Paul trusted to, he let me in. He brought me, he let me shoot video footage of whatever I wanted. I made all the DVD covers for him. You know, I made the DVDs of Showtime for him. You know, papering the towns, creative ideas, just so much. He just let me help. And because he let me help, it was that wide open door for me. And I'm thankful for that. You know, I mean, I'm undoubtedly thankful. And, you know, everyone always, you know, lots of people have their opinions of Paul. And, you know, there's a lot of things that Paul did that made you frustrated. You know, I mean, he did. And you just wanted, I don't know, you just, Paul was never not welcome to be a part of something. You know, if that makes sense. I don't know if it does or not. But, you know, with all of Paul's problems or issues or whatever, I mean, it's always like I was always looking forward to, if I thought I was going to see him at a show or something, like, oh great, I get to see Paul, you know, or whatever. And I'm not, you know, this is definitely one of those devastating times where it's sad that this is it and he's gone. I never got to say goodbye to him. I don't know if I ever got to tell him exactly how much he meant to me as far as the things that he did to help me get to where I am today. And I appreciate Paul Adams. And I implore you know, if you get an opportunity, look up Music City Wrestling, look up Showtime All-Star Wrestling, look up Paul Adams. Hilarious guy on the microphone, great manager, great heel, great mind. He really, really was. And so, at the end of the day, always make sure that you let people know how you feel about them. If you know anyone that's struggling with anything, whether it's, you know, depression, drugs and alcohol, a bad marriage, a divorce, whatever it could be, if you know someone that's struggling or dealing with something that needs help, you know, be there to help them. Don't wish you could do something after it's too late. So that's all I really have to say. I just wanted to take a few minutes to share my thoughts on him, to remember him, to pass his name along to those who may not know who he is or maybe haven't heard about him. And I'm going to play a couple of clips from some stuff he's done. I'm obviously now going to go through my video footage collection. I've got hours and hours and hours of Music City and Showtime that's got Paul on there. So I'm going to go through and try to find as much as I can and post as much as I can. And so at the end of this, or right now, I'm going to just start playing some of the things that he did in Music City and Showtime. And then hopefully you get to see just, you know, how great Paul was. Because even if you're not able to see it, just listening to him, I mean, he was awesome. He was fun. It was a lot of fun to watch Paul Adams on the TV. Thank you for your time.
To tell the people what you're thinking, but they tell me I gotta come out here on this open here and discuss Bert Prentice of all people. I can't stand him. Well, when we come back from the break, I understand old Meatloaf is gonna have a big announcement for us. They must have a new menu out there at the fairgrounds or something. But right after these messages, we're gonna hear from the president of Bert Prentice, see what he's got to say. Well, when I left here about 2 months ago, you know, Flash Flanagan and Wolfie D were pretty much at each other's throats. And I go home on a little sabbatical for a while. I'm getting all this stuff on the internet and all these phone calls about all this stuff about how Flash's attitude has changed and he's got out of his mind and what's going on, Paul. And, oh, my God, things are totally out of control in FCW. And so I'm looking at stuff and I'm watching the TV program and I'm saying, my God, Flash has gone nuts. And so as soon as I get back down here, you know, I get on the telephone and I'm like, Flash, I don't know what you're thinking, man, but you got to calm down. You got to clear your head. Let's get things under control around here. And just listen to me for a second because I know that I know where you're coming from and you can appreciate where I'm coming from because the fans get on my case and I hate them and Wolfie D comes after you and you hate him. So let's just think about things for a second. You're pretty much the star of MCW and I'm the manager of the star, so what do you say we get together? And that's exactly what we've done. Now, Wolfie D, while Flash Flanagan has went out there and built this company, has been the brightest shining star in the sky of MCW, you have been a thorn in his side. Instead of him being able to go after titles around here, he's had to sit there and beat you time and time again, trying to prove to these people that come out and cheer you all over the territory that he's a better man. To put it mildly, you've been this much of a distraction. So step one, I said, Flash, if you want to be recognized as a star around here, as the manager of the stars, I suggest you get a title shot and just beat whoever's got the belt. Now nobody's got the belt. So now coming up at the Tojo Memorial Show, we have this Mega Rumble. It's going to decide a new champion, right? One of the biggest nights in wrestling history. But of course, what comes first now? Another confrontation with Wolfie D. Now he's upset because he thought he could trust Flash, and that's idiotic in the first place to even think that Flash Flanagan would want anything to do with that. It was just a momentary lapse. Well, we are focused now. Tunnel vision. We are set on April 4th for the title to come into our stable. The manager of the stars and the star Flash Flanagan are coming there to get the belt. And if we got to go through you one more time, then we're going to do it. And it seems that that's going to happen tonight now, 11 in Tennessee. Well, that's just fine. Because once and for all, that's going to be it for Wolfie D. All the little teeny boppers that come out with their braces and cheer and gloat over Wolfie D, come out tonight, bring a camera, and capture history. Because it's going to be the last time you see him. He ain't going to be at Tojo Memorial because we're not dealing with him anymore. The thorn in the side, the bad pain that keeps coming back, we're getting rid of it tonight. And then we're coming back to Nashville on the 4th to the Tojo Memorial Show, where there's going to be new tag team champions since Meatloaf sits out here and thinks he has to strip people and has to feel all empowered. One of the biggest nights ever. It's going to be the biggest night for Flash Flanagan. Once and for all, he's going to be known as a star because he's getting that title belt. Tonight in Lebanon, Wolfie D, that's it for you. You got any thoughts about the belt? Sayonara. Give it up, and all your fans give it up as well. Because Flash is walking out tonight the winner. You may get carry out. The only thing that's getting carry out at the Tojo Memorial is that belt. It signifies that you're the best in MCW, and I guarantee you, while I got this towel over this shoulder, Flash Flanagan's gonna have that belt over his.
You know, I'm standing out here, Debbie, and these producers are telling me that I need to get some composure and continue on with the show. But, you know, standing next to you, it's not exactly that easy. You know, I'm looking at those sequin shoes that are kind of like miniature mirrors and everything. But, you know, we're going to come to Lebanon tonight. You know, Style and Shane Eden's going to be there. I know he's been sending you all these letters and stuff. I don't know, even he can't even understand his writing. It's like reading hieroglyphics, like cave paintings or something. He tries to send through the mail with food stamps. What's this guy all about? I know he's going to be there tonight in Lebanon.
Paul, he's so infatuated with Princess D because he can't have me. And you always want something that you can't have, Shane Eden. You'll never have me. You never will. So get over it. Because, Paul, you never know. You might even get a little jealous of him.
Well, I'll tell you what. Like I said, tonight in Lebanon, Tennessee, you know, I got Flash. I know you got Brickhouse Brown. Does it really even matter who Brickhouse is going to be going against out there?
You know, we've got some of the toughest wrestlers in our sport today in Music City. And it doesn't make any difference who they put in the ring with Brickhouse Brown tonight in Lebanon, Tennessee. Because Brickhouse, when he climbs into the four corners of the ring, he takes care of business. And I watch his back around that ring. And I do go all the way around that ring. So whoever Music City wants to put in that square circle tonight in Lebanon, Tennessee, with Brickhouse Brown, I have no doubt in my mind that when we walk out of Lebanon, Tennessee, we're going to walk out as the winners. And that's really all that matters to me.
Big stuff going on around here. Next week we got the Tojo Yamamoto Memorial Card, and tonight in Lebanon, who knows, maybe it's going to be like a prelude to a kiss.
Been in my life. Well, not once have I ever seen a funeral home like this.
I had some issues with that. I couldn't get a real funeral parlor, Dave, to bury a costume.
Don't say it. Don't you ever call him that again. Ever.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. They wouldn't take care of the arrangements for Blue. So we've come here to the slaughterhouse, Dave. The best haunted house in all of Nashville. Open September 16th, 8 p.m. They even have reasonably priced T-shirts.
Man, that's a hell of a plug.
I'm telling you, that's what I do, Dave. I'm telling you, as your life coach, this is going to be good for you. It's going to give you some closure. Come on. So, you know, the main thing is, I mean, I know this is a little bit of an unconventional location for something like this, and although we want to have, like, an actual funeral parlor, the important thing is that you get to mourn in your own way, Dave, and I think just being able to come say a few words about Blue today is really the most important thing. I mean, you and Blue were really you were closer to him than any of the rest of us. And I figure it's time for you to mourn. Everybody mourns in their own way. And if you just sit and just say a few words about him in your own way, I think it'd do a lot to help you in the future, Dave. Dave? Dave? David? Problem solver? Dave?
There's a pink man over there. Pink man!
Clowns! Clowns! No, I'm not talking like a little circus clown. I'm not talking clowns. Please, clowns. I'm not gonna lie. I'm a little upset.
Let's just get the us go see boys.
We got pink man.
Pig man!
There's a pig over the clown in the day.
You ain't never seen a pig man.
Hold on. Before you go any further, make sure you're alright with this. You prepared yourself, because these things can be traumatic. You know, nobody feels comfortable with you.
No, I never do. I really don't.
You think you're all right? You think
You're right.
You know what? You'd have never lost a match against Chase Stevens.
I've never lost a match against.
And you wouldn't have last time if you had grieved properly for Old Blue before you had that match. That was what the problem was. So I thought we'd come here today, and I thought that this would do you a lot of good. Of course, I also thought you'd dress up a little bit. But
what's his favorite baseball?
Yeah, he did like dogs. You guys had a lot of good times.
Yeah, a lot of good times. You remember when Snoop made me put on the costume? He sat in the bathroom.
Snoop loved Blue. Everybody loved Blue. Well, Santana wasn't too fond of Blue.
It was jealousy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Santana wasn't that good.
Are you sure he's in there, Paul?
That's him.
Honestly.
No. Closed casket. After what Genesis did to him, no, it wouldn't be right. But I thought that, You alright?
Yeah, I'm okay.
I know. Well, I thought coming here today would give you a little bit of closure. I thought maybe you'd like to say a few words.
I would. You know, Blue, I still remember the day I saw you on the radio. And I said to myself, that's what I need, that's what I need. Paul agreed, and I'll never forget the days when I put you all on posed in front of the windows of my house so the neighbors could see. And how I'd run around the neighborhood walking the dogs and stuff, wearing the suit, and the girls would all yell at me and stuff. And you know, some people laughed and stuff, but they wouldn't laugh at me. They were just, you know, they loved Blue. I'm gonna miss you, Blue. You're my boy, Blue!
Well, Rick Santel and Paul Adams out here this week. And we are here to address a couple comments made by one Mr. Flash Flanagan out here on the program last week. And we are here at one of the A-Team's all-time greatest haunts. And I'm talking about the El Dorado Hotel. Or is it Motel? Or as me and Rick like to always call it, the All the Way In. Rick, it may not be the pristine, palatial palace that it once was, but we have had some good...
David said he stayed here last Friday, and he said that it was hopping. It was a jumping place, and he had a heck of a party.
I know. They must have partied a little bit too hard last Friday night, because it looks like, well, it's seen better days, and maybe this is going to be added to the list of one more hotel that the A-Team is banned from. Well, and I'll tell you what, Rick, I had a couple nights here myself. I spent a month here one night at the El Dorado Motel with the Olsen twins, you know, that Mary Kate. Oh, she's an alley cat. Well, Mr. Flash Flanagan, regardless of all of that, we are here at the El Dorado Motel because Rick Santel has some comments for you with regard to your comments last week on Showtime All-Star Wrestling.
Flash Flanagan, you challenged nature's greatest miracle to a hardcore match? Hardcore, really? The only thing I know about hardcore is a few of the nights I spent here at the El Dorado Motel. This is the sport of professional wrestling. Rick Santel, I am a professional wrestler. That means I perform moves like the most devastating T-bone suplex in all of professional wrestling, the Santel Slam, and nature's greatest elbow. I don't take trash can lids, stop signs, frying pans, trash cans or the kitchen sink and hit people with. Professional wrestler. Flash, over the last course of this past year, I figured out there are two things that have kept me from my goal of attaining the International Heavyweight Championship. One of them was the knee injury that I suffered on April the 2nd. The other one, call her back later, Paul.
Hey, that's our attorney right now.
The other one, Flash Flanagan, is you. Well, you can guarantee this. Paul Adams, Rick Santel, the A-Team, we're working on something big. Our attorney's working on something big. We have something that's going to rock the foundation of SAW. Let me tell you this, Flanagan. If a hardcore match is what you want, a hardcore match is what you're going to get. You're walking around SAW saying Rick Santel, he broke my jaw, he's a liar, he's a cheater. I only lie and cheat at two things, women and Monopoly. And you can guarantee this, although your head, it is flat, and you do need some form of support, I do not see Park Place, Boardwalk, or a little puppy dog on top of your head. This is where you listen up real close, Flash. Tonight, any night, especially in a hardcore match, you will not pass go, you will not collect $200, and you will not get your get out of a Rick Santel hardcore whooping card for free. What I want you to do is come on down to the ring. Don't stop, you run. You step into Rick Santel's hardcore playground. When the referee hits the three, you'll be lying on your back with that stupid, retarded look on your face, staring back at me. And then you, Paul Adams, and all of the wrestling fans around the world will hear those old, so famous words. Oh my God, it's Rick Santel! And I'll rock your socks.
I think you got your answer, Flash. Hardcore match. You got it. Here, the A-Team, they were up and down a little bit, and they had a huge problem with one Hammerjack. Hammerjack, the former whipping boy of the A-Team, he decided he had enough of that.
Yeah, Paul Adams lost a key employee when he lost Hammerjack. Hammerjack seemed to have took some time away from the A-Team, got his head straight, and that has been one of the biggest feuds in all of SAW in 2009.
And we'll actually see how all that began right here on the Grumpy's Saw Wrestling 2009 Rewind.
You know, since
2009 Rewind here in SAW Wrestling with Reno Riggins. I am Michael Graham. And remember, next Saturday, absolutely free.
And free is a good price.
That's what I hear. Buffalo Billiards, 2nd Avenue. You can check out SAW Wrestling live. Bell time is at 10:30 next Saturday night on 2nd Avenue at Buffalo Billiards. We'll see Greg and all the guys down there, and you should be there as well. And it's a steal at twice the price, I'm telling you, for free. Listen, Derek King Enterprises is going to be there. So will Bordell Walker. So will a man that we're about to take a look at. He had a very interesting year, and we heard some comments about him just a little while ago. Hammerjack.
Well, there a few moments ago, you saw how the A-Team treated Hammerjack and blaming him for a loss. But it was Paul Adams that abandoned Hammerjack on that empty arenas match against Eric the Dragon Andrews. So finally, Hammerjack said he's had enough. He had to sever all ties with the A-Team.
And then the A-Team had to spend most of 2009 trying to, well, take care of their problem known as Hammerjack. And the problem solver was the man that was assigned that task. It all came down to this, a street fight between Hammerjack and David Young from the Sawmill, part of the Grumpy's 2009 Rewind here on SAW Wrestling.
Hesitation here from Hammerjack. Eric the Dragon Andrews sees Hammerjack, and Hammerjack sees him. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Hammerjack's going over here. Wait a minute. Hammerjack now has horns. Oh, God! A big shot in the ring. A spinning kick by Eric the Dragon Andrews. The cover. 1, 2, 3. 3. A win. A win.
Oh, my goodness.
It was the Eric the Dragon Andrews. I don't believe it. It was the little sawmill. Major decision in the race of the 18. And Hammerjack
throws Carl Adams to the wolves or to the dragon. In this case, a shot. And now is Aaron the Dragon Andrews. Wham! Bam!
Thank you,
Wham! Carl Adams, down face first. The problem solver finally is back. Aaron the Dragon Andrews standing tall. Hammer shot.